tonight to the book of Ephesians, dealing with the armor of God. And the context of that is chapter 6, verses 13 to 16. Book of Ephesians, verses 13 to 16. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're focusing tonight on verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you for the way you have equipped us to struggle in the spiritual battle, which is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We know the means that the principalities and powers use to engage us in the battle are the family relationships of husband and wife, children and parents, employers, employees, in the ordinary social contacts and involvements that we have in this world. We battle most with the spiritual forces of darkness. And we thank you that you have equipped us to deal with this great battle, that you have given us your word. And we pray that you'll help us as we have looked at some of the elements of the armor you've given. We pray that tonight as we look at the shield of faith, that we will learn from you. Help us tonight, we pray, granting us your Holy Spirit and encouraging us by your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Text tells us that the shield of faith is to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The devil's purpose is not just to pester and annoy us. The devil's purpose is to kill us, to overcome us, and to destroy us. And the darts that he throws aren't just an annoyance, they're meant to destroy. That's why they're fiery. They're meant to catch fire and destroy. The darts of doubt and fear are meant to settle down, to grow, and to do destructive damage. You can't stop him from throwing them. You can't even stop them from hitting their mark. But they can be stopped and quenched. Faith is the thing that does it. What we're looking at tonight are three sections, really. First of all, we're looking at Eve. Secondly, we're looking at Jesus. And thirdly, we're looking at us in order to see something more clearly about that passage. We're looking at Eve, we're looking at Jesus, and we're looking at us. As we begin with Eve, let's remember that she is the prototype of Satan's attacks. The picture's given us there, something historical that happened in the circumstance. But it's a picture of the way the devil works. And from the very beginning, we see Eve encountered by the fiery darts of the evil one and not extinguishing them. Not lifting the shield of faith, not defending yourself against them. Satan's attack was not just to hurt Eve. It was to destroy her. It wasn't an annoyance, but it was an issue of life and death. And she let the doubt of God come. She did not resist it by faith. She let the fire do its work. The idea came into the mind, and it worked there. And it undermined her, and it contributed to the other fiery darts that would come to teach the kind of conflagration that brought her to the point of turning from God and bringing upon us all the woe that has been brought. One flaming arrow, no shield of faith, and all our woe. There are people who know all the arguments against the wiles of the devil, but they fight the battles again and again and again. They know the arguments for the existence of God. And every time the arrow comes to make them doubt it, they fight the battle again. They go back to the reasoning. They go back to the thinking. They go back to the working through the problem. And so they struggle. And they're weakened by the struggle. There might be a doubt that comes concerning the faithfulness of God. And they can remember, there are texts, and they can remember things that will help them to think it through again, battle it through philosophically, make them to understand the reason why they shouldn't give in. They fight the battle all over again. There are things that make them question the sovereignty of God. They fight the battle all over again. And that is not lifting the shield of faith. At a time of the battle of the crucial things of God, we lift the shield of faith. We believe what God has said. They fight the battle afresh every time. There's a saying that used to be popular, but we don't hear it very much anymore. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. There's a wonderful certainty about that. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. But people don't seem to want to say that anymore. They seem to be willing very often to, rather than quench the fiery darts of the evil one, they're willing to fight the battle and fan it and beat it with a blanket or something, try to deal with it, got to deal with it like a new thing when it doesn't need to be dealt with in such a way. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. It wasn't this text, but it was something like this in regard to the Friday devotions. One of the things that I brought in the bag was a advertisement for, maybe advertisement I should say, I'm not sure what you say, advertisement for DirecTV. I keep getting those. Every few months I get an advertisement for DirecTV. They want me to subscribe to DirecTV. But I never open them at all. I don't have a TV. I don't want a TV. It's not that I have to think through now, what about this? Is this a good deal? How much money will I save? What will the benefit be? What's the pitch that they have right now? What's the extra thing that comes with it? I think perhaps there are people who don't have the same kind of commitment to not have a TV, who will read the thing and see, well, now does my plan do better than this plan? And that's, of course, the reason is to get you thinking about what plan might be best and work you through the problem until you finally, well, they hope, eventually come to them. But that kind of battle, I don't have at all because it's already decided. I don't want TV. Don't need it. And the enticement, however wonderful it is, and whatever the reward might be, doesn't make any difference. I've already settled that issue. Now, I'd like to be able to say I've settled that in every issue that I ever struggle with, that I've already decided, I've already seen, and I simply come to that conclusion when I'm enticed, that's already settled. I've already determined what I'll do with that. But I think that is the kind of thing I ought to be doing. And when the enticement comes in any area of sin, and especially in those areas that the enemy gets me, especially the areas of relationships, the areas of responsibilities in the home and responses to those I love and that I'm closest to, those that I labor with, I think there's some virtue in coming to a decision. How am I going to deal with those things? Am I going to negotiate in the sense of changing my principles? Am I going to somehow rethink something because it might be that I feel an inclination to do something that I didn't feel an inclination to do something before, so I rethink the issue. I remember someone mentioning, I think it might have been in a Sunday school class or I'm not sure where it was, but of a counselor who knew that, well, he had a question he always asked when a man came who was struggling with the authority of the Bible. I mean, a person that had professed Christianity, and now they were struggling with the authority of the Bible. And he had learned that one of the early questions he asks is, are you being faithful to your wife? Is it that there's some reason you'd like to throw off the authority of the Bible? I mean, that's where he's getting at. Are you being faithful to your wife? He just saw that so often, the struggling, the difficulty, the re-entering the argument to think it through again was not an intellectual problem. It was because there was a struggle with sin, and it brought them to question things that might hinder them from their sins. Now, he'd seen that by many years of counseling, and I can't claim those things from my own experience. I haven't had the deep and wide and significant counseling experience that people have had. But I think he was observing something real, something that ought to be considered. Why do people fight the battle again? Why do they relinquish the shield of faith? Wouldn't the shield of faith get them through? I'm not thinking through where I stand with regard to the Bible. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That quenches the argument. It doesn't just stop it. It quenches it. It doesn't continue anymore if there's a crucial area that I have thought through, determined what's right, and determined to stand for God. And whether it's a popular way of saying it in our day or not, there are a lot of things that used to be said that I think might be revived with profit, but that one seems to me to be significant. If there's issues I've settled, I don't fight the battle anymore. And the devil can throw all the darts he wants to, and they can be as flaming as they need to be. They can be put out and quenched by the shield of faith. I know where I stand. I know what I have believed. I've trusted in the Lord, and I am not going to shake. It quenches the fiery darts. Eve did no such thing. Eve listened to the suggestions. Eve thought about the question, hath God said, willing to question, could what God say have been true? Or did I hear it right? That question of battling with that. And then that starts at one point, and then another thing comes in, that God is after is interested in something that he wants to keep you from, and God is manipulating you. All these other thoughts come in when the thought of, have you heard it right? And then, is God's motive right? And all of these steps that could have been stopped had she lifted the shield of faith. I trust God. I believe him. I won't listen to those things that undermine my confidence in the one who's loved me. Well, by the grace of God, we've come to understand many things with regard to the things of God. And to believe them, to hold to them, settles the issue. And we can really say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's a way of lifting the shield of faith. It may be simplistic, it may seem too easy, but we can ask, why does it seem too easy? Is it really just simplistic? Ought it to be rejected as a way of dealing with temptation? You know, the way the devil will work, if he can, is to undermine any confidence in such approach. We're in a battle, and the devil will sneak at us every way he can. And often in the context of struggling with personal relationships, we find ourselves questioning pretty important things because we're having a problem. Well, may God help us to see that, and see that in Eve's case, she didn't simply say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Didn't think to do that, but the enemy was very powerful in his fiery darts that landed and burned. Well, may the Lord help us to bring that back to mind as we think these things through. We've looked at Eve, who didn't lift the shield of faith, and it destroyed her and brought on us all our woe. And what about the Lord Jesus Christ? And in this, I could turn and go in detail to I am going to the text of Matthew 4. Maybe it would be good for you to turn to Matthew 4. to notice it, but really, basically, to just see that this is the passage we're dealing with, and this is what Jesus did. There's a slightly different recording of the two experiences, looking at slightly different things in Matthew and Luke. But in Matthew chapter 4, we've got the devil speaking to Jesus, and he says, Matthew 4 and verse 3, he says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Do you see what Jesus might have said? He might have said, "Satan, you know I am the Son of God. I was there when you were cast out of heaven and brought down to earth. I observed it, and you observed it, and you know that I'm the Son of God." And indeed, in other contexts in the Bible, we have the demons saying, "You are the Son of God. You are the Holy One of God." No question that the devil knew that. And Jesus could have taken an occasion when the devil throws the dart, "If you're the Son of God, do this." He could have stopped and said, "Satan, you know I'm the Son of God," and he could have argued the case. He didn't argue. He saw what the devil wanted to do, and he lifted the shield of faith. "God alone is the one you serve." It quenched it. Quenched the arrow. The arrow came and it didn't light. And it might have lighted by prompting an argument over whether what the Satan said was absolutely accurate. How many times do we get caught into and drawn into discussions that are of no real profit, no real value? We go off on a rabbit trail in discussing things, when in fact the issue can be quite clear. Jesus didn't do that. Instead, he said, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." The arrow of the enemy was extinguished. If we go on, we'll find the same question when it's got the devil took him to the holy city, and he set him in a high point of the temple, and he said, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Now, Jesus could have argued at that point, because the devil misquoted. He says, the text says, if you go back to the text, it says, "He will guard you in all your ways that you won't hit your foot against a stone." In all your ways. Is that an indication that God promises to guard those that are in the place they're supposed to be? Well, he leaves that out and says he'll keep your foot from stumbling. And Jesus could have said, "You got the text wrong. Let's turn back to that passage and let's notice the fact that you misquoted." Now, doesn't that involve something that you've misquoted the text? Well, he could have argued that way because the devil did misquote the text. And leaving out that little bit, "guard you in all your ways," does say something. And he could have argued because he understood theology and he knew the Bible. But he didn't choose to argue. He lifted the shield of faith. He lifted the shield of faith and answered, "It's also written, don't put the Lord your God to the test." So the thing you're trying to get me to do is to put the Lord to God to the test, and God says, "Do not put the Lord God to your test." He's quenched the dart. It had no effect at all. It was gone. He quenched the fiery dart of the evil one simply by quoting the word of God and going by that. It was the shield of faith that lifted him up. Now I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 4, because here's a fuller dealing with the other temptation that was given. And again, the same pattern is there. He could have stopped and argued the case. He could have got distracted. He could have let it burn for a while. But he dealt with it immediately. This is in Luke chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6, where there's a fuller dealing with the way the devil tempted him on the high mountain. "The devil led him to a high place, showed him all in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and he said to him, 'I will give you all this, their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will be yours." Now, there is a little problem with his statement that Jesus might have been distracted by. Nobody gave the devil all the power. It was not delegated to him. God had never granted him power. He always had gotten it by deceit. He got his power over Eve, not because God gave it to him, but because he deceived her and brought her into his dominion. And so the nations of the world are deceived. They're led astray by the deceiver. To say that it's been given to me and I can give it to whomever I will, that's a lie. It can't be. It's ridiculous. God never gave all the powers of the world to the devil. The devil has them because he's usurped those powers and because he's deceived people. And his power over people today is the power of deception. It's not that God has granted them power. Jesus will deliver them from that power. They ought not to be in that power, but they choose to be under that power. That's where you were. You chose to be under a power you didn't have to be under. You didn't owe any allegiance to the devil. It wasn't that once you, although he'll make you think you owed it. Remember in Pilgrim's Progress, there's a battle that Pilgrim has with regard to the enemy who approaches him and says, "You're my servant and you have responsibility to follow me." And it's all nonsense. No responsibility, no debt. You don't have to do what the devil says. You do so because you've surrendered to him and granted him power. Well, Jesus could have said, "You have got the case wrong, Satan. You're saying that you were granted these powers. You weren't granted these powers. You got them by deception. You got them because you brought people under the thrall of your lies." He could have done that. He didn't do that. The wonderful thing is that would have been allowing the dart to be there and to let it burn for a while. And he didn't let it burn for a while, but he answered the question. He answered the Lord's statement in Luke chapter 4. It is written, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Committed to that, the attack, he doesn't have to be distracted to argue it again. Simply declare what God has said. God has said it. I believe it. That settles it. Well, it's a picture of what Jesus did. He didn't point out the misquote in the one case. He answers with the clear word of God. The flame didn't catch. It was extinguished by the shield of faith. He could have challenged the Satan's statement and been an argument, and so fiery dart would have burned on. But he doesn't discuss the issue. He answers with the clear word of God. He's already committed to obey God. No arguments, no reasoning, no floundering about. The arrow is quenched by the shield of faith. And it must be for us. We make a decision. We don't waver. Faithfulness to our wife. Do you fight the battle every time you're tempted? Or do you refuse the temptation? Have you committed yourself in such a way that you're not going to get into that? In terms of the way you relate and the areas that you were tempted to sin in social family relationships, is there a reason why? Do you know the way you ought to behave? Ought you not to lift the shield of faith? And ought we not to stand against the thing and not enter into discussion again about those crucial areas? Ought we not to respond a little like you could respond to the junk mail that you get that you're not interested in the product? Throw it away. Sometimes you feel the place you ought to put your wastebasket is under the mail chute. And then look afterwards to see if you accidentally did anything, but so much is junk. What do you do? Do you reason with everything? Do you ask what benefit they'll give you? Do you work it all through? Or have you decided about certain things? And are you determined that I'm going to do what God said? The enemy will seek to undermine that and to lead you astray and to give you encouragement that you can rethink this issue. And that desire to rethink this issue is the work of the enemy, where we've not lifted the shield of faith. How can we lift the shield of faith? May the Lord help us to see what of all this kind of thing applies to us. To look through where the real battle in our life is. We know that we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. They're the ones we're struggling against. But where is the battlefield? Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Employers, be faithful and honest to your employees, and employees, obey your masters. Those are the areas where our struggles are. That's where we live. And where we live, God calls us to lift the shield of faith. In those circumstances where the enemy would seek to make us behave wrongly, lift the shield of faith. Believe what we've decided to believe. Believe what we see to be true from the Bible. And don't enter into the arguments again. Don't be like the one that the counselor suggested. It might be when you're having a trouble with embracing the authority of Scripture, it might be because there's something in your life that doesn't want the authority of the Scriptures, and that is what's really motivating your move. Well, those are the ideas that come to mind with regard to the shield of faith. God calls us not just to have it stick into the shield and just burn away, but quench it. And it's quenched as the fiery dart is given, and we lift the shield of faith. And we believe God rather than man, believe God rather than the devil, trust in the Lord. May God give us grace to be able to say more and more, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. May the Lord enable us to lift the shield of faith, not to dispute the devil's attacks, but to extinguish them. And soon, let us check out the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God is equipping us. He's equipped us with all that we need to fight the battles that will be given. It's wonderful to see the way he's displayed before us the panoply of armor that he has declared. He's said, put on the full army of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you've done everything to stand, the belt of truth buckled about your waist, held together by truth, held together by the truth that God has given in his word and the sincere belief of it is being buckled together and held together by the truth. The breastplate of righteousness, loving the word of God and wanting the truth. I delight in the law of God after the inner man. There is a battle within me that fights against that, but I delight in God and I believe in him and I acknowledge that the word of God is true. It's holding the shield of faith is believing that and being enabled to have the breastplate of righteousness because of the shield of faith. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In all the relationships, in all the things that I have to face day by day, what will keep me on my feet? What will keep me from stumbling? A commitment to faithfulness and to love. The commitment, the gospel of peace, a commitment to wanting forgiveness and peace. If basically what I'm after in every conflict is forgiveness and peace, somehow to bring about forgiveness and peace, I'll keep from stumbling as well. And how do I stand against the darts that get thrown at me? Lift the shield of faith. I think it will be somewhere around the statement, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Not entering into the battle, not determining to reason again, not thinking it through another time, not arguing it through, not going back to all my arguments and lining them out again, but standing on what I believe and resisting the attack of the enemy, quenching the fiery darts. Well, may God enable us to think those things through as they apply to us and look forward to hearing what does he say about the sword of the Spirit and what does he say about the helmet of salvation. And may the Lord help us to perceive how this too fits in to what he is, the way he has equipped us to battle the enemy in our day. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for equipping us for the battle that we have every day. We're conscious that we do struggle. We're conscious that we are tempted. We're conscious that we fall and we respond in the wrong way. We need the help of God to fight this battle and win. And we know that our real confidence is in the protection that you have given to us. We trust in you, Lord, to help us. Grant us grace to hold fast to your truth and have it hold us. Grant us grace to trust in the breastplate of righteousness that you have given, our hearts guarded by your righteousness. Grant us grace, Lord, that we'll be able by your grace to lift the shield of faith. We do pray you'll help us to be to keep our footing by a commitment to forgiveness and peace. Oh Lord, help us and grant us grace that we do lift the shield of faith in the everyday battle the enemy will send. Would you be with us? Would you help us by your Holy Spirit? Would you enable us to go forth in the strength that you supply? We bless you, Lord, now and ask your blessing upon this evening. Help us meditate upon these things in a profitable way. Help us encourage each other in Christ and help us go forth trusting in you. We ask your blessing upon these things and give our hearts to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.